Hello.
Hola.
Welcome back to Double Demony, the podcast.
It's been a while.
It has. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Just hold on to the handlebars. I don't know. Don't people say something like, hold your horses? Hold your horses.
Hold on to your seats, or I don't know.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up. That's one.
Buckle up. That's
one. I'm Emily Pyle.
Officially.
Officially.
Your last name's Pyle, too?
We done did got
My
married.
My last name is Pyle,
No
too.
Way.
That's crazy.
We got married, y'all. So, no, I'm going to introduce myself as Emily Pyle.
That's pretty cool.
And you are?
I'm still Jonathan Pyle. I'm not Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah, you don't have to be stripped of your name. Imagine if you, like, switched names.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
That'd be so complicated.
It doesn't feel like I'm being stripped of my name because I just kind of always knew I would change my name.
Yeah.
And then I also want... like our whole family to have the same name, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is Beans Pyle right here.
Beans Pyle.
Mm-hmm. She's all snuggly up on a pillow on my lap. Okay, so intro to the podcast. We like to discuss and review new movie releases here. Be prepared for lots of spoilers because we're going to talk about a lot of the things that happen in the movie. If you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it and come back.
Lots of spoilage.
Oh, yeah. All the spoilage. Mega spoilage. And finally, follow us on Letterboxd, DI_podcast, where we post the movies that we will be reviewing the week after. Before we talk about them, they get posted.
True that.
Yeah. So.
Or you can follow my Letterboxd account, too, if
true.
You want.
Plug yourself. What is it? I don't even know it.
Jonathan Pyle 35, I think.
JTP Slayer 35.
No, that's my PUBG username. Excuse me. In every other game I own.
Yeah. What about you felt like you were a Slayer?
Pretty much everything.
It just oozes from you. Like a pimple.
Ew. Not like that.
Okay. Are you ready for the first segment?
You ready? I'm ready.
What are we watching right now? We are watching a lot of things.
Yeah, we are watching a lot of things.
Because we just got back from our honeymoon and we were trying to just do nothing. And that meant we watched a lot of movies.
We were just toast.
Toasted. Mega toasted. So one thing that we binged The Flight Attendant. It was good that it was boring.
Decent.
But I still wanted to finish it. Yeah. It's just another one of those self-destruction movies about a girl who's a mess. Or it's not a movie, it's a TV show. But it's good. I liked it. I thought it was enjoyable.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it balanced the line between comedy and drama pretty well.
Yeah, it did actually. Well said. Yeah. And then my next thing that I wrote for what we're watching right now is for Jonathan to pull up his Letterboxd.
I see that written on.
Stop reading my notes. They're top secret.
You watched a movie called The Firm.
Tom Cruise. I started that one on my own because he never wants to watch it, but then you really liked it.
I don't know why I didn't want to watch it.
The puppy's disturbed. Why didn't you want to watch it? I'm just
gonna
hit the
pillow
here.
I just didn't feel like watching it, but then you start watching it, so I was like, what are you watching? And then I started watching it.
And then you wanted to finish it.
It's like on an airplane, everybody else's movie is so much more interesting than
that is so true.
It's just like that.
And it's funny because it'll even be movies I've already seen. Like,
I know,
right? What's going to happen, but then it's like, nah, I don't want to watch it myself. You know? Like, I'm not going to put it on my screen.
No, it's too much effort. Like, I was watching parts of Frozen that you were watching. I was like,
Beans.
I was like, this is what they're saying in that moment in the movie.
Oh yeah. You just outed me. I'm such a 12-year-old. I watched Frozen on the airplane. I always want to watch like the just like lighthearted, stupid movies, and I would watch Frozen. And yes, I did finish it when I got home. On Disney Plus.
Oh, you did? I didn't know that.
And then I watched Frozen 2.
I never saw Frozen 2.
It's not as good as the first one, but it's like cute. It's cute.
Not worth it then.
Yeah. What else did we watch?
Mission Impossible 3. I think it's a pretty good movie. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman. One of the best actors of all time, in my opinion. I miss him. Then we watched a movie called Fair Play, which was like this like...
new movie.
Yeah, on Netflix.
It's just about a couple who work together and they do not...
very toxic relationships.
...do well working together. And it's a very toxic situation. It was okay.
That was fine. Yeah.
It was just kind of like an movie.
Yeah.
They like left all these seeds that you thought were going to lead somewhere and then they didn't, you know? like the whole part about him watching this like guy doing this guy's online thing. I kind of thought that was going to come to something, and it just didn't.
It didn't.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, it was fine. Mm-hmm. And then I watched a movie called Blackberry on the plane.
I wanted to watch that. I was watching you watch it.
I saw.
I was literally watching it, and but then I was like, nah.
It's really good. I really enjoyed it. It's kind of like The Social Network. But
that's what I thought. It would just be like another Social Network.
Do you like The Social Network?
I don't remember.
Oh, I think it's Mark a brilliant
Zuckerberg's
movie.
Mark Zuckerberg's kind of scary, though. Have you ever seen a picture of him?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying judge people by the way they look, but he's just, I don't know, there's something scary about him.
Oh, yeah. Like, people think he's a robot.
Yeah, he seems like a robot. Yeah. He does.
And, like, there was a video that went viral. He was on Zoom for something. And in the background, it was, like, kind of, like, similar to our background, just like this, but it had a shelf. And on that shelf was just a bottle of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. And so everybody was like, why do you have that in the background of your video? It's not even a pantry.
Who was, like, sharing that? Like, is that not illegal to, like, share, like, internal videos of, like, your...
I don't even remember what it was.
Beans, what are you doing? No! She is attacking me. Get down, love. Okay. What else did we watch? Sweet Baby Ray's. That's your favorite type of barbecue sauce too, right?
It's one of mine.
It's the one you always buy.
That's true. I think but I'm gonna branch out.
Whoa.
Yeah, well.
You know, you can buy them online too. You don't have to buy what Walmart offers you.
Oh, I know. I was actually researching some sauces today.
But you need
I'm glad you asked.
You have one. The floodgates are open now.
Say goodbye to our bank accounts.
You just have one rule, and that's you only have the space in the fridge door. If you exceed it, you must throw away a sauce to replace it with another sauce.
I can work with that. I can work.
No,
with
you
that.
Can't because it's overflowing right now.
It's not overflowing.
Your Sweet Baby Ray's is on a fridge shelf.
Okay,
like I would bet $1 million right now it's on a fridge
that
shelf.
That is exempt because of how large it is.
That's what she said. No, it should fit on the door. Like,
no,
it should fit on the lower one. You fit your apple juice giant bottles on the lower part, but you can't put that. Have you seen the videos of people like, I think, okay, I'm so stupid. The only time I watch reels are with you because it's on your phone. So yes, you have seen them. But do you know the videos where people like rate fridges?
Oh, wait, yeah, I have. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. What do you think they'd say about our fridge?
Oh my gosh.
We should like take a picture of it and like,
in like a couple months from now.
And then raid our own fridge.
Yes,
yeah.
That's a good idea. So much unexpired, like expired cheese and deli meat in the drawer.
No, but I just cleaned it out because we went on vacation. So now it's like really good.
I know, but like a
but
couple
now
months
we look
from
like
now,
college students who like don't have any food.
That's true.
I know, but the only reason it expires is because you decide it's not good after 2 days of it being in the fridge and you buy more and you don't throw it out.
Here's the thing. Emily doesn't really believe in expiration dates.
Did you just call me Emily?
Yes, I did.
Why did you do that? That was really weird.
And I do believe in expiration dates, so I just wouldn't want to take the chance.
They are best buy dates.
Expiration
you
dates.
You are a food waster. You throw away food that hasn't even reached the expiration date because you decide it's not good anymore.
No, people
you
always
know?
Say, oh, those starving children in Africa. You got an envelope? Send it to them. Like...
That's so terrible.
Sorry.
Do they even know it's Christmas time? Obviously they don't, because it's not.
It's probably not snowing there. I mean, in places it probably is. What else did we watch? How did we get on this topic?
We were talking about Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, right.
Then we start talking about fridges. Because those two are very related.
Obviously. Then we watched The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I enjoyed it. I was half asleep while we were watching it.
It's because we were exhausted. We were in Hawaii when we watched
it.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, that's all we've been watching. So
well, we watched a little bit of that extraterrestrial show, but I don't remember what it was called.
Oh yeah, Encounters.
It was okay. I thought it was going to like, you know, like present some real data, but in reality, they're just sharing
really
interesting stories, but it's just telling stories. I thought it was going to be some sort of deep dive documentary into like proving aliens or something.
Me too. I wanted some
conspiracy.
But
I guess they think it's been proven enough.
I guess they have.
I don't know.
I don't think it doesn't need to be proven, you know? It'd be cool for sure.
Wouldn't you want to know if there were aliens visiting the planet?
Yeah, that's true. I would. But also, There's got to be life out there. There's no way there is not life out there.
We're not going to debate aliens right now. But we both believe in aliens, so.
That's true. Not illegal aliens, obviously.
Oh, my gosh.
You can cut that part out if you want.
Are you ready to do your spiel? Okay, what is the movie today?
It's called The Creator. I didn't even know this movie was coming. I didn't know this movie existed until the trailer came out in like May.
I didn't know it existed until you told me we were doing it for the podcast.
Which is weird because, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I know a lot of stuff in the movie biz. And I was like, what? I've never even heard of this. What?
And also it's a Disney movie too, which like is even more surprising that you haven't heard of it. Because it's like backed. Yeah. Isn't it?
I didn't know it was Disney.
Wait, is it? Am I wild? Why did I think it was Disney?
No, I could be wrong.
I'm going to Google it. You continue.
Yeah. Okay. This movie is directed by, Gareth Edwards. Is it Disney?
Co-produced between 20th Century Studios and Entertainment One, while Walt Disney Pictures distributed the film.
Gotcha.
So they just distributed it.
Cool. This guy directed a movie called Monsters. He did the new Godzilla reboot back in 2014, and then he did Rogue One all the way back in like 2016. So it's been a while since he's made a movie.
Okay.
Movie stars John David Washington as Joshua Taylor.
I love him. I love him in any role he's ever been in.
Yeah.
He's just wonderful.
Me too.
He's funny. He's great.
Charismatic.
He's a good actor. He seems like a guy you would be like, want to be friends with.
Want to hang out with. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Beans is upset. Something has disturbed her. Okay. Maybe she was just so upset about what we were saying about John David.
Guess she's not a big John David guy.
Okay.
And his father is great too, obviously. Gemma Chan as Maya. Allison Janney as Colonel Howell. And I really liked her in this.
I thought she was great in it. Yeah, I love her.
That was not like a usual role for her.
She usually plays like a weird person.
But that, I quite enjoyed her as like this commanding badass.
She was good. Yeah, she was really good.
Ken Watanabe as Harun. And then Madeline Voiles as Alfie, or the child.
Mm-hmm.
Alfie. The plot. Don't look at my notes. It's the budget.
You just copied and pasted it from IMDb.
No, I typed all these in.
Okay.
Against the backdrop. Well, I copied and pasted this from IMDb. Sorry. Everything else I copy and paste.
Completely curated yourself.
Against the backdrop of a war between humans and robots with artificial intelligence, a former soldier finds the secret weapon, a robot in the form of a young child. What's worse than a rapist?
A child.
A child. Any guesses on the budget?
$100 million.
Close. It's $80 million.
I thought 70 would be too low, because like 65 was like $70 million, and I was like, this was way more complex than 65.
Oh really?
No. I thought 65 was $70 million. $70 mil.
I thought it was like 30.
Okay, well then that makes sense that this one would be 80.
Yeah,
I think I was remembering something wrong.
It's fine. You'll make up for it.
Booties.
It's made $61 million worldwide. Only made $14 million the opening weekend, which is not great.
Ooh.
Start with the positives. I probably give this. Can decide between three. I think it's a 3.5.
I'm giving it a 3.
Giving it a 3. Beans.
She's eating the door. Beans.
This is the most visually stunning movie I've seen this year.
Visually stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
This year as in like since January?
Since January, yeah. I think it's great.
I think Barbie was visually more like stunning. I don't know. It's more visually exciting. I guess this was like, I don't know. It was beautiful. Yeah. The colors were good. The scenery was cool. It was pretty.
It was made with a $200 million budget.
Really?
So you think
they did a great job with the budget? Well, the CGI is fantastic for an $80 million budget.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of surprised they were able to do that. What, do you want to sit under the pillow beans? Like, what do you want?
Well,
okay. I guess she's happy under the pillow.
You're too sweet.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. I was surprised to see CGI like this, like, for such a low budget.
Yeah, it just looks great.
Like, the fact that they were human faces, like, on top of a mechanical bit was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And also, I'm always a sucker for, like, artificial intelligence that, like, with the kind of visual design that it had in this movie.
I am getting so tired of AI stuff, though. Like, every movie now, the bad guy is AI. Every movie. Do you want this?
Yeah, that's true. It has been. Recently, it's been a bit.
Yeah, everything's AI.
Yeah.
So that means about a year ago, everybody was like, the next big thing, AI.
AI. Yeah, that's true. What are the positives? John David Washington, excellent as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, the battle scenes were just so good. I loved them.
Really?
Yeah. That's just, yeah. It, like,
what was so good about them?
Just the design of the soldiers and the guns. It reminded me a lot of, like, definitely influenced by Elysium and Apocalypse Now. And
I wasn't paying enough attention. I feel bad now.
And Blade Runner for sure too.
Oh yeah, they were totally trying to be Blade Runner. I literally wrote that in my notes. Like, they just want to be Blade Runner.
I think it's still original though, even though it borrows a lot of topics.
It borrows a lot, yeah.
I think it's still pretty original.
Yeah.
I know people complain about, oh, Hollywood's run out of ideas.
They have.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, but this story could have been better. I don't know.
I was fine with the story. It's just the emotion. I wasn't feeling the emotion behind it.
Mm, yeah, I agree. I was not emotionally connected to any of the characters, and only slightly to John David Washington, but that's because I love him so much as an actor that I initially have empathy for his character just because of that.
Yeah, I'm the same way with a lot of actors.
Yeah, so like you already like their character.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some actors, like, I don't remember his name, but he always plays a bad German guy.
What has he been in? Can you tell me?
Inglourious Bastards.
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz. You instantly, like, love him and hate him at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. He plays that, like, hateable but charming so well.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah. Yeah, I just wasn't as invested as I thought I would be.
Me too. I was, like, kind of bored the whole time. Like, I was talking to you and joking the whole time.
You were very restless during
the
whole movie.
I was super restless, which means that I was not very invested in the movie. Like, that's what it means.
Which is weird because this has, like, the same plot. Not the same. Similar plot to, like, The Last of Us or Logan.
Or 65.
Or 60. Oh, yeah, 65.
Just, like, a guy taking in a kid, like, orphan kid, and, like, taking care of them.
Yeah,
falling in love with them.
And Mandalorian, too. Yeah, everything.
Mm-hmm. Him and Baby Yoda.
Grogu.
Is that really what happens? I haven't seen Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They do take themes, so many basic themes, and then they put it all together to make something, like, actually kind of original.
And it should have been great.
It should have been, and it wasn't.
There was just something missing. I don't know what it was, there was
so many little plot holes in it. There were just so many things that, like, that is so stupid. Why did you do that? That's a continuity issue.
There,
like,
was some continuity.
This doesn't make any sense. Like, and that's kind of what, just like the whole time, like, I just wasn't hooked in it. And they tried to do too much. Like, there were so many scenes that were unnecessary, in my opinion, like things they didn't need to do.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, there, I remember just seeing parts and I was like, why did you do that? Like, why did he go back to the house that he lived with her at? There was literally no reason for them to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he was going to track the ring and find her at that house where a nuclear bomb had gone off, do you really think she's going to be there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I guess they thought he was looking for hints, but the scene was so short and so useless that I was like, there's literally no point in even putting it in.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. It's also hard to, like, care for, like, characters when, like, oh, it's like the trope, like the...
What's a trope?
It's just like a common, overdone, overused theme in a movie. where like, oh, it's the flashback to the pregnant wife. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, exactly. Like that's supposed to make you fall in love with them. But in reality, it's just.
It's like, okay.
We know what you're doing. You know,
trying to make us feel for them.
You have fooled no one.
Yeah. You're not fooling me. I've seen too many movies.
He's seen too much.
Yeah. And there was a lot of continuity I noticed. And also weird. You're right. You noticed a weird spot to cut. And they cut in very odd places.
The editing, are you saying? Yeah, the editing was a little off.
Yeah, like before they were at like the magical place, the one with the golden shell, you know, at the altar. Yeah, yeah, like
heaven.
Yeah, yeah. And like they saw the soldiers like approaching and then all of a sudden they were in the building. I was like, what?
I know, they would just cut to things without like explaining it. Like, oh, they've been captured and separated, but then all of a sudden now they're here, and then all of a sudden now they're killing her, and then all of a sudden he has to kill her, and then wait, no, they've escaped. Like it was like 5 minutes all of that happens.
Yeah.
And it was just like too much. Like you don't need all of that. Like one really solid good scene of like some sort of development, and then you can get rid of all of the mishmash, like the wash. It's just not necessary.
Wash.
The wash.
Wash.
I have a couple notes too. Just like frustrated with the plot holes. But if you want a very straightforward kind of boring movie that's sci-fi, you should watch this.
That's true. That this suggestion? Can appeal to a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. And I'm honestly like, I get that AI is like really trendy right now because it's becoming very important in like actual society today. But I'm honestly kind of tired of not having a real bad guy, like a face of a bad guy. Like I'm kind of tired of the AI stuff, like just fighting against a machine. Like, and then something they try to do in this movie is they try to play it off at first as if you don't really know who the true bad guy is the whole time. Like, is the AI bad or is it the Americans who are trying to kill the AI bad? Like, who's the bad guy? And then they slowly transition you into thinking the Americans are the bad guys, the AI is the good guys. And it's interesting juxtaposition in this because you don't normally see this in American movies, and I'm making the assumption this is an American movie.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
But the good guys are Asia with AI and the bad guys are Americans without AI.
Yeah.
So like Americans being behind on technology and, you know, against change, and then Asia being like very modern, very for change, and like the good guys.
Right.
And I'm not saying like that's not the way it should be. It's just that you don't normally see that. You don't normally see America as the bad guy. So I thought that was an original and interesting thing that they did in the movie.
I agree.
Because I'm not saying America always needs to be the good guy. I'm saying it was very original.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting. And it was also kind of like throws you off for a little bit because you're like, wait, the Americans are the bad guys? Like you never see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very corrupt.
Yeah. For shizzle and nizzle, you know? So are you ready to talk about the plot or are you ready to talk about the plot?
You know what? I think I'm ready to talk about the plot.
Are you sure that's what you want to do? You know, I think that we should just talk about the plot.
Let's do that instead.
I feel like the people who would be listening to this would think this is very annoying, but we've been doing this like all the time. Like we just suggest the same thing over and over again to each other all the time.
Delete. Slav.
Okay, so the plot. The movie starts out with a montage of the development of AI systems and technologies. I liked it. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was cool. The thing that kind of confused me though is like they used old computers and the film they were shooting it on was kind of like older dated film. So I was kind of like confused as to when this was supposed to take place because the computers were like computers from like the 80s and the 90s and yet the technology and the people weren't. So I was like really confused. And then it turns out that it takes place in 2055, which I didn't know that. I thought it was like in the 90s or something, as if AI had developed that far in the 90s.
I kind of thought that too.
Yeah, like it was almost like they were going for Silo vibes, like the Apple TV show Silo. With like the futuristic time period, but the dated technology, but it really only works in Silo because with Silo, they are in a like time capsule. You know what I mean? So like their technology wasn't developing because they aren't working to develop their technology.
Exactly.
So it worked in Silo. Don't think it really worked very well. And this, it kind of just like confused me as to like what the time period was. But getting back into the plot. So the AI was developed very in-depth, very complex. They were able to create robots that were like basically humans. They acted like humans. They looked like humans. They just like had these metal backs of their heads rather than like having like human flesh, which like I don't understand why they wouldn't just make them look like real humans if they don't want humans to kill them.
It was a little weird that they had like the robots, then they had like the simulants. And then just humans.
Yes, they had robots that did not have faces. So my assumption was like, oh, those are older robots before they developed the faces.
Yeah.
And then like there was this thing where like you could donate your face to be used on the robots.
Mm-hmm. Which is totally a thing they would actually make.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they couldn't just like generate faces though. Like, is it just easier to copy people's faces?
Why?
Imagine how terrible it would be like walking down the street and seeing yourself. Like, I don't want to see myself.
Well, if you're good at something, never do it for free.
What would you be good at to do that?
No, I'm just saying you got to sell. You got to market it, you know? Might as well.
Market. That's how you market your face. You get it out there so people know it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
exactly. How I usually do it. Oh, okay.
Just giving the people what they want.
So the AI basically detonates a nuclear warhead over Los Angeles, and the United States freaks out because they're like, oh my gosh, the AI has gone crazy. It's developed beyond us and it wants to kill us. And they're detonating nuclear bombs, which the United States then decides that it's time to ban AI, which would be extremely hard to do since like AI is a core functioning like aspect of their society. So I don't really know exactly how they did it, but they did. And so the Americas and the West have all banded together to destroy and get rid of AI. Whereas Asian countries are still embracing it. They're still developing it. It's still like very well accepted. The locals live amongst them. They have cultures like in common with them,
mm-hmm.
Because the simulants basically just become locals. Like they're just normal people in the area. And so the West declares war on New Asia, which is basically just like Southeast Asia, but they like made up a country called New Asia.
New Asia is cooler. It's new.
Which is basically, I think, like in the Vietnam area. And so the West declares war on them in order to try and eradicate AI from the face of the planet. America's trying to hunt down Nirmata, which I looked it up, and Nirmata in Hindi means the creator.
That's what it said at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, I didn't read that.
Yeah.
I don't read the things at the beginning of movies.
You don't read those?
I just didn't know that's what it meant.
Oh, gotcha. I thought it was just ever at the beginning of movies.
I didn't realize that it was a translator. Like, I didn't know they were translating it.
I thought
it was just a title.
I think.
Well, potato. So, man. Nirmata means the creator. I thought it was cool when I Googled it. Obviously, Jonathan just knows Hindi fluently at this point.
I speak Hindi.
So, Nirmata is basically this human who is an architect of AI technology, and she works on advancements of AI, and she's the America's biggest target because she must be the only person in the world who knows how to make AI, I guess, or she's at least the face of the revolution. And so people basically worship Nirmata like she is a god, like the most important person in the world. Like, they say she's in heaven, you know what I mean? So the Americans decide, in reaction to this, they're going to make NOMAD, which is the North American Orbital Mobile Aerospace Defense, which is a space station that can launch missile attacks from orbit, so that they can basically like bomb and explode anything they want to whenever they want
to. Which is weird to me. Like, why didn't the New Age is going to have some air force of their own? Why don't they just attack it? That was my thing.
Oh, like, why don't they just, like, freaking blow it up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they need to make a robot that can control technology? That can, like, control electricity from far away?
Instead of that might have happened anyways. But why didn't they just do that to begin with?
What I thought was cool that they did, though, with NOMAD was it's like this big space station. Looks like a bobby pin in the sky, basically. And it had these like laser beams that would shoot down and it would like trace on the earth. It was really cool. Like, as it was flying, like these laser beams were coming down, but I was like, imagine like I don't know, like the native species and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it would kind of mess with the environment, like the birds and stuff, like seeing that.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like that would be like really bad for the environment. But I guess when, you know, you
think it's the end of the world, nobody
cares. Yeah. If you're just going to blow it anyways, who cares? But it was cool how they would do that to like trace that Nomad was coming. I liked that. I think that was an interesting idea.
I liked that a lot. It was it was a vibe. You know what I mean?
It was totally a vibe. It was awesome.
It was neon vibes, and I love neon vibes.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I heard today? Not at all relevant.
Oh.
But the music from All Quiet on the Western Front. I heard that like little riff today.
Oh, really?
On like something I was watching online, and I was like,
what's up?
It's just like you hear it and you like your heart is like just ripped out of your soul.
Oh no.
Like, I don't know how he wrote that so exceptionally well, but when I hear that and then I think of this movie, I'm like, they could have had amazing theme music for Nomad.
Yes.
Like as it comes in, like something like All Quiet.
It was Hans Zimmer too.
I know, but
he did
a
great job. But like,
I just didn't. The music did not captivate me like Hans Zimmer normally does. And you know, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe he didn't have a movie that matched his ability to make something like amazing for it. But I don't know. I just thought it was subpar. Like I should have been like entranced by the theme for Nomad.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
And I wasn't. You're right. That's a good point.
So. Just saying, I was just thinking about All Quiet on the Western Front and how amazing the score is, and I'm very happy that they sweeped the Oscars.
Yeah, me too. That was crazy.
I honestly still think they should have won Best Picture over Everything Everywhere.
Yeah, me too.
Everything Everywhere was just, I guess, very unique and original.
It's a little overrated.
I think it's so overrated. It's ridiculously overrated. Like, I liked it. I thought it was good. That it was an original movie, but I don't think it was Best Picture when you have All Quiet on the Western Front.
Me either, but it wouldn't be the first time the Academy has not chosen the best movie for Best Picture.
I know, it's like why, it's like they choose what they feel like would be the most like appropriate for Best Picture.
Culturally
rather than
accepted?
Like, like whatever would be the most like, oh, this is the best decision for Best Picture for this and this reasons, but not, I feel like those reasons aren't always because it's the best movie.
Yes, and now with their
whole, obviously, it's subjective what the best movie is, but
inclusion, like all of their requirements now, oh, it has to have at least one, like
that's so unfair to people,
minority
like,
actor in it,
that
which
is so racist. Like there should be like good enough roles and good enough acting opportunities and good enough actors in Hollywood that you shouldn't have to try for it to be inclusive. It should just naturally be inclusive.
Exactly.
You know? And then when you try to make it inclusive, you're being racist.
When you put because requirements on you, it, it limits
you
it.
Might be kicking somebody out who truly did a better job and could have won the Oscar.
Yes.
Just because you need one person. And that's nothing to say that there shouldn't be a minority. I'm just saying there shouldn't be people who did not earn it based off of their actual acting skill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying whoever would get it is a bad actor. It doesn't sit with me right, okay?
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wonder what the Oscars will be like next year.
Well, we'll have to do our whole little predictions and everything.
That's crazy. It'd be the second one we're doing.
I know. It's really weird. We're coming up on a year. We have like 10 more episodes until
a
year. This is weird.
Crazy.
Okay. Ooh. So. Okay, so after all of this, well, really not after all of this, but basically, the introduction to like actual characters in the movie and not just like backstory information is they show you a couple named Joshua and Maya, and they're in a secluded home somewhere in Southeast Asia. She's pregnant. You can tell they're very much in love. It's like 4 a.m. and they're just sitting on the bed, fiddly diddly dallying and talking about all of the amazing things in the world.
Well, that was Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. No, it wasn't. That was in their house in Asia. Their home was in Asia.
Oh, you're right. It was. I'm kidding.
Because this takes place years after Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm tripping.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, there is an air raid that attacks this beautiful family. And you're like, why would they be attacking them? You have no idea why at first. And then all of a sudden, it is revealed that the people who are attacking are Americans. And Joshua is actually an undercover American agent who is searching for Nirmata, who is the architect, as we spoke of previously. So I just want to say that Joshua is, could have been a really amazing undercover agent. You know what I mean? Like, he built a family to look normal. Like, if he was just a stonewall, like, totally just an agent, like, he would not care that he had built a family and he had to leave them. If he was an amazing, like, super spy agent who really infiltrated.
That's true.
But instead, he was a really bad agent because he actually completely fell in love with the woman he was supposed to be spying on.
He was in there for too long.
He was in there for too long, and he got her pregante. So he really took it a little too far.
A little too far. Jumped the gun.
But they got married, and they were in love. But it comes out that he is a double agent because he's like, Americans, why are you here? I'm not ready yet. I'm still working. And Maya hears him, and she's like, you're telling me you're a double agent? Excusez-moi. And so she leaves him. Goodbye. And runs away. And her and all the Sims are on boats trying to escape. And Nomad comes in and bombs the poop out of them.
Predator strike, baby.
So very, very sad. So Josh, being extremely heartbroken about it, leaves his job as an agent, and he ends up working as just like a cleanup crew on Ground Zero of LA. So they make it out like he just took a bottom of the bottom job. He's given up on life. He's not over the death of his wife and his unborn child, which obviously, how do you get over something like that? True. So after 5 years, he is approached by General Andrews and Colonel Howell, who recruit him to locate and destroy a new weapon made by Nirmata called Alpha O.
Not Alpha A.
No.
Or C.
But it's O. Alpha O. So they basically trick him into coming on the mission because they show him a video of his wife, Maya, still alive, and tells her that he could eventually find his family if he goes on this mission.
I kind of suspected
that. And he is like instantly like, oh my gosh, I have to find her if she's alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they tricked him basically. So once they infiltrate some random base, with Josh there, the whole American team, buddy buddies.
That scene before that was so cool with the music and them flying through the, in their ships.
I don't remember that.
You said you liked this. You said, I liked this song when that happened.
I did.
They played a song. Yes. I don't remember what song it was.
Oh, well, I remember they played a song I liked, but I don't remember what it was. Mm.
But love the ship design too, and the way they land. I love it. I love all
the
ship designs.
Yeah, the cars with the wheels, like with the. Mm-hmm. If you are watching, you know what I'm talking about. I'm making an arm motion. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Yeah. They had some original stuff about it. So.
How is pizza doing?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not tracking it.
Oh, okay, there you go.
It's baking right now. We're ordering pizza. That's why Jonathan's asking how our pizza is doing. So, once they infiltrate the base where the weapon is, this part irked me. This really annoyed me. These guys are super bad, super agents. I'm just going to say it. So, they were not at all prepared for the fact that when they're attacking the most valuable weapon of their enemies are going to fight back. I know it's crazy, right? Like, who would have thought?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they were, like, ill-prepared.
They were
just
sloppy.
Caught between a rock and a hard place.
They literally show up. They're getting attacked by all these people. And they decide that instead of working to open the vault to get to the weapon, they're going to go back in there and help their buddies. Which, you know, I get that. But, like, there's a time and a place.
Never leave a man behind.
And this might make me a bad person, but if you're considering this mission to be extremely high priority, with the entire world's safety at risk, like, would you prioritize man over mission or mission over man?
Would you...
Come on,
would you
ghosted.
Rather?
I quote that all the time.
You do. Oh my gosh.
Because it's just so exactly what it is. Like, it's mission over man.
That's true. I know. Would you, how about, like, it was a choice. If like 1,000 people die or I die, what would you choose?
That's just a trolley problem. That's a stupid question.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm saying the mission over man. Like, they need to get the weapon to save the world.
So why was the vault so large? That's what I was like. I was like,
that's so true. It was really big.
It's like it, like,
and
meant,
it was so easy for them to hack
into
it.
It was so, like, intimidating. Oh, whatever is in there is huge. But no, it's like it's
a, but the thing is, it's not a surprise because they showed they you showed it in the ad.
Trailer. Yeah.
Like, it, they could have made it pretty cool without, like, letting you know the girl was gonna be the weapon. Like, if you didn't know she was the weapon, she was just, like, some simulant in the ads, would have been really cool to be like, oh, shit, she's the weapon? Like, that would have been a great moment that they ruined with the advertisements, the advertisements. So, by the time the vault is opened, all the guys are gone and the only person there is Joshua. And so there's a kid in there, and there's no weapons. So we're like, what the heck? The kid's a sim, which is the first of its kind, which was like wild. And Joshua was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
So I kind of think as a war move, you know, like a battle tactic, it's pretty smart to make your weapon a child because nobody in their right mind would want to kill a kid.
That's true. It's like, yeah, that's like, that's pretty screwed up, actually.
It is super screwed up, even though it's not like the intention she had, but I'm like, it's really smart. So this is the most powerful simulant ever made. And she's not just a copy-paste bot like the other ones. Like, she can actually grow. Her knowledge base will grow, which... that just means she's the only artificial intelligence, because if all of the bots don't actually grow, that just makes them robots. They're not artificial intelligence. So there literally is no artificial intelligence for them to be fighting against, except for the girl. Just saying.
You kind of lost me there. I'm sorry.
Artificial intelligence is like, it learns on its own.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Whereas if you're telling me the girl is the only one that's learning, then she's the only artificial intelligence in the movie. And all of the ones are just robots. So come on, you guys, get it together. So she, we find out, is actually designed based off of the baby that Maya was carrying in her womb. So she somehow got the baby's DNA and then used it to design her sim baby that would grow into being the most powerful sim and weapon in the world. So I have a couple questions about this, just personally. Like I think it's a little weird that her baby wasn't born yet. So like ethically, I feel like it might be a little unusual to, like, you know, steal your baby's DNA and make a simulated twin of it without its consent. Like, I just think it might be a little unethical. How would you feel growing up with a robot replicant that your parent made? Be very competitive, I feel like.
Would be
obviously
very
the sim would always be better than you.
Yeah, that's true. It could adapt, you know?
I think it's just really weird that she took her baby's DNA and made a robot out of it before she knew her baby was going to die.
Well, I guess she wanted some version of her child in a certain form rather than...
well, she didn't
no
know
form.
Her baby was going to die, I thought. Because her baby died on the boat explosion when she wasn't alive. She
downloaded that prior.
Yeah, she did it before. Like, that is so ethically wrong, in my opinion. Second off, that kid looks nothing like Joshua. Like, Joshua is black. Like, I'm not going to say I'm an expert on genetics, but I would also say that we could probably all agree that black people typically make... children who are also black.
Like, typically.
I would just say, you know, rare exceptions of maybe albino or something. But usually, I don't know, I might be wrong. But
typical.
Usually black people have black children. So,
well, you know what? You know, we're just, it's a melting pot. You know what I mean?
I just feel like that's basic science they could have, you know, thought about a little bit. And I also Googled it, and it turns out that the actress was actually Southeast Asian and German American. So that ain't nothing close to black. Now, I don't know her history, but I just thought it was kind of weird that that was supposed to be his child because she looked literally nothing like him.
It was an odd choice.
There was not 1 ounce of his traits in her at all. Like, she must have just been, this is so terrible to say, she must have just been like somebody's friend's kid who like wanted to be a big actor, so they gave her the role.
Wait, what? Like, Gemma Chan?
Like, the kid.
Oh, the kid.
Yeah.
I wonder, I actually forgot to look up if that's her first role or not.
No, she's like a really into like trying to be famous. I looked it up. She's been wanting
Madeline?
To be famous her whole life.
Really?
The little girl, yeah.
I had no idea. What's your source? No, I'm just kidding.
I just said online she's always been into the arts.
Oh, this is her first movie.
She's 9 years old also, so like I'm not gonna knock her for starting too late.
Wow. That's, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just kind of was like,
Me no think so. Also, sorry, there were not like any fun facts about this movie.
That's okay. It wasn't very fun. So, Josh, after finding out that the kid is the weapon, he and her are running away because she is running from all of his bad guys who are killing all of her friends, and he is running to chase her. But as he's doing so, he sees that his ship that brought him there is actually leaving him there because Nomad is on its way to blow up the region, which another thing that I think is kind of weird. In my opinion, why even put boots on the ground and men in danger if you know you're just going to blow it up? All along, like, did they really want to get the weapon and then blow it up? But why would you steal the weapon and then just blow up like innocent civilians? Playing
devil's advocate as always, I think because like just blowing it up is an assurance that something's going to die, like underground.
Well,
I think
you need something to die for the mission to be like successful.
No, they didn't know that if they just went ahead and bombed it, that
there might not be more weapons or something.
Nomada would die. They need like visual proof that it's dead.
Oh, but they weren't going for Nomada. They were going for the weapon.
The weapon, excuse me.
The
they need visual proof
Vendi
that the weapon.
Saw as ten vepense.
What?
Come on. It's what? They taught me it in Spanish class. It's like the it's a way to remember like the verb conjugations. We've literally talked about this on the podcast before. Ven di sal as ten vepense.
No idea. Whatever. I don't know Spanish conjugation.
So Joshua, what you doing living here all alone? You know that song? It's a Dolly Parton song.
You just made it up.
No,
you made that up on the spot.
No, it's a really good song. Oh my God, if only. That's my queen Dolly Parton herself. Okay. So Nomad blows up the region. Josh runs away with Alfie, who for some reason trusts him, despite it being the most sophisticated sim in the world. It seems to be very ignorant. And they run away to the capital to find Josh's former commanding officer, Drew, who's a friend of his, who's going to try to help him, I guess. I don't know. Josh was just looking for an ally. You know what I mean? We all just want allies in this world.
We all just want friends.
So, his friend Drew now makes Sims for a living after once having been an American soldier who's fighting against the Sims. And he's also dating a Sim, too. So
he's Simtastic.
He's Simtastic. I mean, top of the Sims. You know what I mean? So when there, he is in Drew's apartment. See, this is another thing. I'm like, why do you even need Drew's character? Like, there's literally no point.
I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They go looking for his wife, Maya. But Josh, of course, you know, being super romantic, had given his wife a wedding ring when they got married, but he had a tracking device in it, so
the cat's out of the bag.
Yours too.
I was gonna say
cat's out of the bag. So he uses that to try to track down his wife, but of course she wasn't where the ring is. And they also get attacked again. Fun. Oh, I totally skipped a part. We're going to go back to that. So prior to them looking for his wife, they get attacked in their apartment and Drew's girlfriend dies. Also, there's a plot hole I want to talk about. This whole movie, anytime a human would die, Howell, I don't know what's her name. She had this device that would download their brain's knowledge and put it on a microchip that then you could then put into a Sim's head, a dead Sim's head, and then you would get like a couple of minutes to talk to the person after they died. But like, in my opinion, like, wouldn't it be more feasible that like after a Sim dies you can download their memories and put it into another Sim rather than a human and put it into a Sim? Like, why is it that when Sims died they were dead, but when humans die, oh, you just download their brain and put it into a Sim?
They didn't do that. You can't do that with the Sim. With a Sim.
They kept saying when a Sim dies, it's dead.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's a good question. That's
it
kind of a plot hole.
Just didn't make any sense to me.
You would think it would be easier if it was a sim to a sim.
Back to when they're looking for his wife. So they go back to the place where him and his wife lived, the place that's blown up. We were talking about it earlier. To look for his wife. She's not there. He's very sad about it. They get attacked by soldiers, American soldiers, and they get captured. In my opinion, this was a scene that I thought was completely unnecessary, and you agreed to. It was completely unnecessary. There was just a lot of little parts. It's like, ooh, they escaped the Americans. Ooh, they're here. They escaped the Americans. Ooh, they're there. They escaped the Americans. Like, it was just like, come on. We don't need all of these. Like, this is just excess.
Isn't the next scene the battle scene? Because that scene was so good.
Drew finds out Drew tells Josh that the attack on Josh and Maya at the beginning of the movie, years and years prior to this moment movie, was because they had found out that Maya's father had died and that now Maya was Nirmata. So it's a monarchy and she has been passed the crown of Nirmata.
There you go.
Yep. So that is why they attacked and that is why they tried to kill his wife and, you know, pretty sad stuff. So the New Asia people, I'm so stupid. I thought the Americans captured them. I'm wrong. The New Asian people captured them when he was looking for his wife. And there you learn that the LA bombing was actually a coding error done by the humans, and the US government blamed AI for it, so that they then vowed to kill all the AI to protect the world. And they say that the simulants just want to coexist with the humans. But in my opinion, this makes no sense, because if humans are the ones who code the AI and the AI initiated the bombing, then by like not coding and making AI anymore, wouldn't they prevent the AI coding issues in the future? Do you know what I mean? Like, if a human coded the AI that made it, then that means humans could make mistakes coding AI again in the future. And there's a part where they're like, oh, well, Sims can't kill humans. And I'm like, is this supposed to be like, oh, the Sims are so sweet and special and better than humans? But in reality, no, that's just like the coding was done well that time. Like, what if it was done bad another time? It's just like, whatever. So Josh and Alfie actually escape from the New Asians and they flee while the Americans again find them and are attacking them. But Alfie decides she wants to intervene and use her power to help the village of her people, her fellow Sims.
Also, it was so cool, like the running bombs. That was so cool.
Yeah.
It's like running robots that they're just like mini grenades, large grenades.
I was watching it though, and I was kind of like, my dude, that is like honestly such a waste of money to make such a big bomb. Like, why don't you just make it a small ball with like a gyroscope or something so that it just like rolls?
Well, it's a bigger explosion.
Yeah, but I feel like at that point, if you can make artificial intelligence technologies, you can make small bombs with big explosions. Mm-hmm. Whatever. So Alfie gets injured because of one of those running bombs Jonathan's talking about.
She gets shot, not
the bomb. Well, there was a bomb like near her when it happened. And so Josh saves her. And this proves to himself and also to the Sims that he is one of their own and that he supports the Sims more than he supports the Americans. So the Sim people are like, we need to take Alfie to Nirmata so that Nirmata can heal her. But this is like totally annoying to me because they literally take her to Nirmata knowing that Maya is actually in a coma and has been since the attack many years ago. So you're telling me that you're like, oh, we'll take you to Nirmata so Nirmata can heal you, but Nirmata's in a coma so Nirmata can't heal you. And then for some reason, like, Alfie's just fine. Like, she's not injured anymore. Like, her injuries are just gone.
That was weird. That like, I noticed it just, that, too. It was like...
It's just, like, little stuff like that that it, like, just left me in the movie. Like, I'm not even going to try to get invested if, like, you're being this sloppy with the writing, you know?
Agreed.
And so it turns out, this is when you find out that the Sims cannot kill people because they can't take her off of life support because it would kill her. So she has just been stuck in limbo for all these years because nobody can kill her. So Joshua ends up taking her off of life support. He's there with Alfie. It's a very emotional moment for them. And is then found by Howell, who attempts to download the brain of Nirmata on a flash drive, which, as we talked about previously, I don't know why you could download human brains and not sim brains, but whatever. So Josh and Alfie are then captured by the U.S. forces, finally, after all their trying, where they force Joshua to kill Alfie because he is the one who she trusts the most to kill her. Love that for her. Like, imagine being in jail and then being like, who do you want to kill you? This is weird.
My father, please.
So you learn later that he actually didn't kill her, but he turned her off. Spain, and so the two of them escape, which is like really stupid to me because they were going to just like incinerate Alfie, which is like so idiotic. Like, they should have studied her advanced AI technology so that they can fight the AIs rather than like, we're going to burn her.
After God, they that's kill so her. True. Holy crap. Right.
So they get to this part really pissed me off. So they get to a passenger. Okay, so Josh and Alfie is what I'm saying. Are running away and they get on a pass. Are you reading my notes?
No, no.
They get on a passenger commercial flight and they hijack it to go to the Nomad space station to go and destroy it. This is so reckless. Like, what even? These are civilians that you're taking to a space station to destroy it. Like, you are an actual terrorist. Like, hijacking a civilian plane.
Yeah, I guess so, but they're also, the Americans were in the wrong too, so.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that all of the Americans who are sitting on the airplane who just want to get to their destination are like fueling the AI, you know what I mean? No, like, true. Those are just normal humans. Like, they.
But how else would they get they to the space station? They should
have bought out all the tickets themselves or something on the plane and then kicked the pilots off and then taken the plane alone instead of taking civilians to a space station that you're about to explode and destroy. I don't know, it kind of pissed me off. And then so they board Nomad once they get here, and Alfie does her magic so that they can destroy it, and as it is exploding, Josh is unable to make it into an escape pod. Alfie does, so Alfie shoots back to Earth's surface, and as Josh is roaming Nomad as it's exploding, he actually finds out that Maya Nirmata was placed in a sim using the flash drive by Alfie. And so Josh gets to spend his final moments before dying, hugging and kissing his wife. And then Alfie lands, people slash sims are happy, and that's the end.
That's the end.
Yep. And also, I cannot tell you what we're doing on the podcast next week because next week I'm going to do a podcast at home with my family. So we're going to do whatever we feel like doing.
True that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
We're going to go pick up our pizza because it's ready. So I love you guys and I'll see you later. Bye. Bye.